Welcome today, episode 2, I Got It From My Mom, with your host, Sarah Jaguar, a podcast to inspire and encourage moms to give you simple tips to get outside, whether you work outside the home, stay at home with kids, or anything in between. We want to inspire you and give you a kid's perspective on getting outside. May you be encouraged to pack a snack, load your kids into the car, grab the right gear, and get outside. A little vitamin D, a little exercise, and some fresh air. If you heard the first episode, welcome back. Thanks for coming back. If you're new here, welcome. We are so glad you found our podcast. My name is Sarah Jaguar, and I'm passionate about getting kids outside. The name of my podcast is Lagom Today. Lagom is Swedish for just enough or just right. These days, it is not easy being a parent. And you know what? It's also not easy being a kid. Sure, we have a lot of luxuries these days. However, kids and parents have a lot of pressures on them. Here at Lagom Today, we want to empower you and give you simple tips to get outside with your kids, and maybe to encourage your kids to play outside independently. If you didn't know, I'm part Swedish, and this Swedish blood runs pretty thick in me. This week, we're going to start at the beginning with my mom. You know, the title of the episode, I Got It From My Mom.
Hi.
Welcome to my podcast, Lagom Today.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that you wanted to be interviewed. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Last week on my podcast, I talked about what it was like with me going outside, and I shared how you would take us on walks. And my recollection was I would be hesitant to go on walks, and I would be frustrated. And then in the end, I enjoyed that you took us outside because we got to go on a lot of adventures. I want to start off by asking, did you have ideas in your mind with how you wanted to raise your kids in regards to the outdoors?
Yeah, it was part of the big picture, though. I wanted to raise my kids to be God-loving, healthy, well-balanced, independent, capable, and contributing adults. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to develop their God-given talents and use them for the better good of society. I really enjoy the outdoors and adventure and physical activity. I wanted to share that with the kids, with you kids.
Can you share a little bit about some activities that you tried to do with us when we were growing up? Before that, can you share your kids, their ages? We have an idea of the spread.
Okay, well, there's Sarah, there's you. You're the oldest. And then there was David, 2 years younger than you. And then there was Peter, 3 years younger than David. And Philip, 3 years younger than Peter. So it was busy. It was a busy time. A lot of young ones. When you guys were young, I tried to get you outside. I try to get outside every day. And it just helped in the overall atmosphere of the home.
How do you mean it helped in the atmosphere of the home?
Going outside, it was when we'd come back in, people were more relaxed and I was more relaxed as a mom. I mean, I love the outdoors. It helped with, you know, burn some energy, get some exercise, that sort of thing. And it's just enjoyable.
So did we come inside exhausted?
Sometimes you would. I mean, it depended how long we were out there. But I mean, you guys had good stamina. Yeah.
So what were some activities you tried to do with us? Or do well, often with us?
We would definitely go for walks or bike rides. So that could mean that I was walking with a young one in the stroller or in a back carrier. Some of you older ones would be bike riding. And that would just be like a simple walk and bike ride around the neighborhood. And we would also often meet with other moms and kids who also wanted to spend time outdoors.
Was that helpful for you to have other moms who wanted to be outside and
Definitely.
Get together?
I mean, for one thing, having a bunch of kids outside is a lot easier than having a bunch of kids inside. And plus, instead of just sitting down with a cup of tea with the mom, with, you know, kids roaming around in the house, yelling and stuff like that, we were outside and it didn't really matter. It was easy to walk and talk with my friends.
You bring up an interesting point about your friends. How did you stay connected to your friends without cell phones where you could text constantly? Would you call each other up?
How did you plan things? We would call each other up, you know, say, hey, I'm going for a walk. Do you want to join? What time is good? I had three friends, as you probably remember, in the neighborhood that were all similar about they enjoyed getting outside. Those were the three. and they all had kids that were kind of your guys' age. So that worked out. Those are the three in particular there that I remember getting outside with. You were asking about activities. I wanted you guys to learn how to swim. To me, that's a basic life-saving skill. I signed you guys up for swimming lessons at a local pool. Then in the summer, we would spend time at the pond or the ocean and often meeting up with other moms and kids. So that's another activity.
I remember going to the beach. Like when I was really little, I loved it. And I remember as I got older, I would rather go to a local swimming pool. As I was even older, or when I was younger, I thought this is what all kids do. They all go to the beach in the summertime.
Sometimes in the summer, it was like, oh, do we have to go to the beach today? We don't want to go to the beach. But I get it. Times when it's something you're doing every day or almost every day, you know, you take it for granted. And I guess that's one of the perks of living in a climate where you have seasons. Every season has its own beauty. And the summer, of course, is beautiful when you're near the beach or if you can swim in a pond. And speaking of which, well, I grew up skiing, cross country and downhill. I grew up in Sweden. And so I wanted you all to learn how to ski. However, living on the peninsula of Cape Cod in Massachusetts, it wasn't all that easy because there are no mountains or ski slopes here. And if we would get a snowstorm or get snow, it was usually a snowstorm. And it was even hard for cross-country skiing because it was usually windy and they weren't ski trails the way I was used to. However, we did get some skiing in when you got older, as you probably remember.
I do. I'm so glad I learned how to ski because I love to ski, both downhill and cross-country.
However, in the winter, we always went sledding if there was snow. If the snow was wet, we would make snow horses and snowmen together. I was usually out there with you guys. Yeah, other things that we did was taking bike trips. And Where we did that go? As a family. Well, we explored Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard together. Those were long rides or big rides, things that we did as a family. But in the neighborhood, I even taught some of the kids how to ride two-wheelers, along with teaching you guys.
I remember that. I remember the Martha's Vineyard trip. I love those. It almost felt like a tradition. Like
well, it was a tradition for a while. Yeah,
we would go at least once a year.
Yeah, at least once in the summer. Yeah, so the overall getting outside goal was, I think I said this already, but burning some steam, getting exercise, along with learning about nature and just enjoying the moments together.
How was it with one girl and three boys? I have one boy and three girls. I noticed that boys have a lot more energy. Girls can have a lot of energy too, but boys tend to be a little bit more physical.
Rambunctious.
So, yeah, rambunctious. Yeah,
definitely.
So did you notice that getting outside really helped that aspect?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, it was just a matter of, you know, you can burn more energy when you're outside than if you're inside. Running around, exercising, riding bikes, being on skateboards, playing street hockey, playing basketball, any of those things, I think has a calming effect. Because once you exert all that energy, you tend to calm down a little bit as you get inside. And then you're more ready to maybe sit down and do homework, you know, playing with Legos or something that's just a little bit more sitting still and not jumping all over the place.
I remember that growing up, a very fond memory I have is we would get home from school and you would not make us do our homework right away. You would let us play outside for a little while and then sit and do our homework. And I remember I would have other friends whose parents would say, no, you need to do your homework first and then you can play. You didn't negate the importance of homework. However, you wanted to make sure we had some exercise before we sat down and concentrated to do homework. That I remember.
You know, when school is in session, for a lot of part of that time, it gets dark pretty early. You know, it's obviously nicer to go outside while it's still bright outside. You've got some sunshine. So I definitely felt that was important. Because, you know, you're in school all day. It's a long day of just sitting in a desk and doing all that work.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think about my own kids who, you know, they're in preschool and they were doing a lot of different activities. You know, my son went to kindergarten. He's sitting on the bus to school and then he's sitting in school and then he's sitting on the bus home from school. That's a really long day for a little person.
Absolutely. When you guys were growing up, you only had to be for kindergarten, you only went half a day. So it kind of eased into that a little bit, which was nice.
True. Now, how did you get us motivated, like the kids motivated to get outside. Because in the little backstory in the previous episode, we talked about how hard it can be to get outside with kids, especially when it's colder weather. You have so many things. There's hat, mittens, jacket, snow pants, warm socks, boots. You have all these things that you have to make sure that you get on everybody. There's bound to be one child who, no, I'm not doing it, I'm not going outside. So how did you motivate us, or how did you get us, or were we just naturally motivated to get ready?
I can't say that you always were motivated to get ready. But I would say for the most part, I think you all enjoyed going on hikes and walks and bike rides and things. You know, I try to make it an adventure and make it pleasant. I enjoyed it. So for me, it didn't take a whole lot of motivation at all. It was easy to be motivated. Having a break in the day and being outside, it seemed like if you went outside every day, and I was a stay-at-home mom, so that was really nice. That was a great blessing for me. But getting outside once a day, it just kind of broke the day up. And yeah, broke the day up. And by the time we got back in again, it didn't seem like the day was so long. It seemed like the day went by really quick if you had a little break in the day of going outside. Now, granted, when it was really cold or rainy out, it takes more effort, especially with the little ones that can't get dressed by themselves. And you have to make sure, you know, that before they put the snowsuits on, we got to go to the bathroom and things like that before you leave the house.
Today, we went for a walk, and we did make the kids go to the bathroom before. We're on the walk, and halfway through, I gotta go toddy from my almost three-year-old. I said, you have to hold it, because she had on a snowsuit and all this, these extra layers, and we were not close to home. Thankfully, she did hold it. So switching gears a little bit, you take care of your grandkids from time to time, and maybe even a little more than that. How did you use what you learned as a mom and raising your own kids to share the outdoors with your grandkids?
Getting out with the grandkids is a joy once you get out there. However, the getting ready can be a bit of a challenge, especially because I don't have the same routine as I used to have with you guys when my own kids were growing up. However, the fun part is having a second chance to do things better, you know, being in less of a hurry. One of the things that I've found is that you can't be in a hurry with little kids because they're not on the same time schedule.
No, they don't.
So, and another thing I've learned is not to fight over what put on the kids, because oftentimes if it's warm inside, the kids, they're not that great at judging the temperatures outside. I just pack a few extra things, like especially hats or windbreakers or whatever, so that when the kids get cold, I have extra layers to offer them. And then another thing is it's important to anticipate the needs and plan for it. Like we already talked about potty breaks.
Sure. What other needs are you referring to?
Snacks or water, something to drink when they get hungry or thirsty. And, a little snack break or even a lunch outdoors is often something the kids really look forward to. Or maybe like a little extra treat on the way can be a great motivator when the walk gets a little long for tired legs.
I have found that. Well, sometimes keep fruit snacks or granola bars or trail mix or something in my pocket or bag to entice my kids to continue the journey, to
right.
Continue the walk.
That's definitely a good thing to do.
Can you share a fun memory of taking your kids outside or taking your grandkids outside?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of fun memories of going outside with you guys and with the grandkids. One of the things I especially remember when you were asking me about this is that when you, Sarah, and your brothers were learning to skimboard, it was in the early fall right after school began, and I would pack up the car and head out right to the beach for an hour or two as soon as school would get out. And sometimes we'd be meeting up with friends. But once we got back, instead of the boys then being stressed and agitated, they were relaxed and they were ready to take care of whatever needed to be done for school. And I know that we're super blessed to live so near the ocean, but I bet that many of you listeners, you can be very creative and come up with some fun places to go and explore. Maybe it's like a fun playground, place with the climbing trees or a ball field, park. Really, your imagination is the limit.
I never knew that about the skimboarding in the fall. That sounds fun.
And actually, I learned how to skimboard from you guys.
I remember that. And you were so enthusiastic. My friends thought, that's your mom is skimboarding. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
That takes a lot of energy, actually.
It does. I remember learning, and I remember it worked so many muscles in my body. The next day, I was so exhausted and so sore.
where I considered myself pretty in shape. I was an athlete. I played lacrosse. I would go rollerblading and running, so I thought that I was in shape. And the next morning, I thought, wow, I worked out muscles I didn't even know I had.
So now, exercise. Do you think there are people that don't even know what skimboarding is?
Probably. You want to tell them a little bit about it?
Oh, you can tell them.
All right. Well, skimboarding, it's similar to surfing, except for you're doing it right on the water's edge instead of out in the ocean. So you'll hold a board in your hand. It might be a wooden board or it might be a foam core board, and you hold it in your hands and you run and you throw it down onto the ground, like where the water meets the sand. You quickly jump on it and surf. It has a similar feel to surfing or snowboarding, but it's at the water's edge, so you don't need to have big waves. And you can learn in small tidal pools, and then when you get better, you can go out into the ocean more to kind of tackle bigger waves. But you're not surfing, you're not paddling out and surfing to catch a wave. So that's skimboarding.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
It is. The name of this episode is I Got It From My Mom. Can you share a little bit about what I was like as a child or getting me outside as a child?
Yeah, but before that, I gotta talk about a special memory I have going on an adventure hike with the grandkids.
Oh, yes. Please share.
Yeah, because this was really cool. It's a time when we went to the Knob. So the Knob is a nature preserve with a little peninsula sticking out into the ocean. And it's one of my favorites, and it's one of the kids' favorites, and the grandkids' favorites. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we go there a lot, and there's always different things that we do. And I don't remember the exact time of the year for this particular visit, but we were going along the water, and it was low tide. So a lot of the rocks were exposed. The kids, they were beginning to lift the rocks up, and they discover that crabs were hiding under the rocks. And they discover the crabs. And I was just astonished that I had been there so many times before without knowing that the little crabs were hiding under the rocks.
This was the first time you were surprised, like that you learned about the crabs.
Yeah. And I mean, I had been there with you guys. Now I'm there with the next generation. And it was such a discovery. And the kids found the crabs because they were not in a hurry. You know, like some of us sometimes. Oh, we got to get there. They were just exploring. I was thrilled to be part of their discovery.
And they, you know, they still talk about it. And anytime we go to a beach with rocks, they just bend down and pick up the rocks to look for crabs. So they still remember that Knob visit.
And of course, since then, we have shown other kids the crabs too. And everybody thinks it's great. You know, they pick up the crabs and hold them in their hands. Hopefully the crabs survive. But it's just cool how kids can really teach grown-ups things. All right, so what else were you asking me?
Well, I had mentioned sharing what I was like as a child and getting me outside as a child.
You, Sarah, you always came prepared. You would pack what you needed and more. If someone needed something, Sarah usually would have it, whether it be like an extra hat, or you always came like a Boy Scout, right? Always ready, something like that. But you were pretty compliant, and you didn't complain often that I can remember. And you were very strong and capable. And you were brave and adventurous and always ready to try something new. That's how I remember you taking you outside.
That's encouraging, because I remember being annoyed at you wanting to take us outside, what felt like all the time. And I mean, I must have internalized a lot of it, because I just think, oh gosh, we're going outside again. I don't want to do this. And then once I'd get outside, I would have a good time. So that's funny to hear from your perspective.
I think one of the antidotes to that, you know, because people do run into that, especially when kids have different interests and all. But sometimes if, you know, they can bring a friend or something, that can usually help.
I remember going with friends a lot. Either, I think a lot of the moms you hung out with, there were a lot of boys involved, and there weren't a lot of girls. And I remember you letting me bring friends with me. Like if there wasn't going to be another girl, you would let me invite someone, usually made it more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I think you probably were more the one that got to bring a friend. The boys had each other. Well, I mean, then you were the oldest.
The oldest, the only girl.
And now you have a son who's the oldest.
And now he's the
only boy.
He's the one who usually gets to have friends come along. Tables are turning. Would you like to share a memory that you have when you were younger getting outside? Something that was fun for you?
Again, I have so many fond memories going out in the woods. Some of my fondest memories from going outside there was we had two close neighbors, family. We were all friends, like the the three neighbors were all friends with the kids and families. And at that time, that was a long time ago, you know, we didn't have, like, there was only two of the families that had cars. And then the third family didn't have a car, and they were four people. We were, my family in that time, we were five of us, and the other family was also five. And so then they were, the family of four. We would all pile into the two cars. We would go on an outing for maybe like picking blueberries, wild blueberries, or wild lingonberries. So we would drive to some specific spot that my dad had probably scouted out already. And we would go berry picking. And it was such a fun outing with all the kids and the grown-ups. It was such a social event. We would bring fika. You know, it basically mean like coffee and a drink, you know, some cookies or a bun or something like that, a little snack. So we would do that.
How did you all fit in the two cars?
This was before car seats. And there weren't as many cars on the roads either. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, that's how we grew up. But
that
I guess,
fun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the point with that was that we really enjoyed a social event with friends.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was time with family and friends.
Yes.
And it wasn't just about getting outside, but it was about spending time together outside.
Exactly. And it wasn't just like, you know, come and have tea or share a meal. I mean, those things were nice too, but yeah, we just had great adventures. You know, the grown-ups would do a lot of picking of the berries. The kids would pick a little bit, but, you know, then we would also be making forts and run around and play. And
I was going to say typical childhood, but maybe that's not so typical these days, but a fun childhood nonetheless.
Absolutely.
It's time to wrap up. Earlier you mentioned you get outside with the grandkids. What is some advice you have for moms, dads, or grandparents listening to encourage them to get their kids or grandkids outside?
Oh, I would say just do it. If you have little kids, I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything big. I know that the little grandkids, we just walk down the street to this hiding tree, as we call it. It's a big tree in a cul-de-sac. A little island cul-de-sac, and we walk down there or we take the scooters down there and just play hide and seek. I remember even the little cousins last summer, they were like two,
yeah.
And they were actually learning how to play hide and seek. They were just having a blast. It was so much fun.
And that's maybe a tenth of a mile.
Yeah. And we would be there for an hour just playing hide and seek. I mean, we could do it in the yard too, but it was just, I don't know. Kids tend to, like, they get into these habits, I feel like, when they're little. If you go and do something there once, then they want to do it over and over again in the same spot.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know, like, in the winter for my kids, if we find ice somewhere, they always want to go back to that one spot where they had ice and go back to the ice and play and again and again. And I mean, I have a memory of my son Sam, he's now eight, when he was two, playing in the hiding tree when your mom was visiting from Sweden. They were playing hide and seek there at the hiding tree. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. This is fun.
And yeah. Do you have, or can you give us some ideas for gear that we can use to get outside or that makes life a little easier with getting outside?
Well, I would say travel light. I mean, obviously you have to be dressed according to the weather. If it's cold, make sure that the kids are not overdressed. Layers are good so that if they get hot, because when you run around, sometimes you get warm. So, but proper clothing, obviously. Stay dry, stay warm. Boots if it's wet out, that sort of thing.
Well, thank you again. And we will definitely have you come back and share about Sweden, because I'm sure my listeners would love to hear a little of your backstory and what life was like growing up in Sweden and how their outdoor culture is.
There's a lot to be learned from that.
Yes, this is true. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Gear review. Each week, I'm going to give you a tip on gear that works for us. And maybe, just maybe, it'll work for you. Or maybe it will give you ideas on what can work for you. For us, a light backpack. Honestly, any simple backpack will do. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. However, if you don't have one, we'll link to a few in the show notes. Our advice is to travel light and be prepared. Having a small backpack makes it easy to pack snacks, water, an extra layer of clothing, unless it's summer. In that case, it might be a bathing suit. Hat and mittens. Hats are good for far into the spring. Having a hat on hand, even if it's not cold, can help keep you warm if you're a little chilly, and it's easy to carry. So there you have it. Make sure you have a small backpack that you could easily pack, a few snacks, some water, and maybe a change of clothing. Outdoor tip. Each week, I'm also going to give you a tip on how you can get outside with your people and how you can make it easier. This week's tip, have fun. If you have young kids, don't make it a marathon. Tailor it to their ages and level of endurance. If you have a 3-year-old not used to walking far, don't start off on a 2-mile hike if you won't be able to carry them or push them in a stroller if they get tired. Getting outside with a 3-year-old might look like walking to the playground with you bringing a stroller for backup. Let them look along the way. Take in the world from your child's point of view. Dress in layers. This is good to help keep you comfortable.
Silly story of the week. This week's silly story is about me. I figure if we're going to share a silly story, I should start off by embarrassing myself. This week, my mom, friends, and I got outside on an unusually warm winter day. It was 65 degrees, friends. That almost never happens in New England in February. My grand idea was a local place called Strawberry Hill. To do the entire hike, you need to check the tide to make sure that you go at low tide. Otherwise, you won't be able to make it the whole hike. I checked the Tide app on my phone, texted my friends, we agreed on a time, and I was excited about a hike with my 3 friends, 11 kids, and 1 au pair. Now, to be noted, I was the one who suggested the location. It is a known muddy location. Can you see where I'm going? Well, we hiked to where we were going, and one child ventured into the low tide area. This means muddy. Muddy can mean getting stuck. This particular child became unfortunately stuck. I decided to help the child and walked out, only to get stuck myself. My legs were crossed and I was about to go face down into 6 inches of mud and there was nothing I could do. I dropped my hand into the water, well, mud, and somehow I was able to keep myself from tumbling over. So I have 2 legs that are kind of crossed, my hand in the mud. My friend came to the rescue. She came, we worked together to free the child, whose boots were temporarily left behind, while my friend took the girl to safety. I managed to unstuck myself and the child's boots. Note to self, remind children not to venture into sticky, sinking mud. And saving children might be more dangerous than it appears. At the end of every episode, I would like to take a few moments to mention a nonprofit. This week's nonprofit shout out is Salt Pond Area's Bird Sanctuaries in Falmouth, Massachusetts. Their mission is to protect and preserve Falmouth's open space wildlife habitat, preserve historic buildings, and to provide educational classes. Something of interest is that the Knob, which is one of their properties, is one of mine and my mom's favorite places to go. And the Knob is where she mentioned her grandchildren found those crabs. So if you have a moment and are visiting Cape Cod, look up Salt Pond Area's Bird Sanctuaries, specifically the Knob. But any of their properties are beautiful. Thanks for listening to Logum Today, where we give you some simple tips to get outside, a little vitamin D, a little exercise, and some fresh air. Come back next week and I will share some of my favorite gear, some tips, maybe even a silly story of trying to get my kids outside.